welcome. Really glad you're here. And I want to start off with a scientific poll right here in real time. We're going to do it. And so I'm going to ask for a little bit of layer of transparency on your part. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you have ever felt this way, or you could say, yeah, I've agreed with this statement at some point in my life. Has there ever been a time in your life where you have felt spiritually stuck? Raise your hand if that's you. Just put it up, keep it up, hold it up nice and high. Here's what I'd like you to do, especially people kind of in the front. Just everybody look around for a second while the hands are raised, because I want you to notice, if you're there right now, you're not alone, right? You are not alone. If you're buying into this idea that somehow I'm the only one who's stuck spiritually, I'm the only one who can't get out of where I'm at right now, you're not alone. Other people have been there. And if we were able to be transparent with this large of a group of people, there are many of us who are there right now. And in fact, the idea that we even brought this up, you're going, oh my goodness, I cannot wait to hear what the scriptures have to say when it comes to being spiritually stuck. Now, there's a lot of different reasons as to why you may be feeling spiritually stuck, right? It could be things like life is just very overwhelming right now. There's more life than there is you, and you can't really handle it. Maybe you're feeling on the verge of burnout, right? Maybe you're feeling stuck because you have isolated yourself and you've actually been resisting friendship with other growing disciples, which puts everything on you, and you have to figure it out by yourself, just you and Jesus and nobody else. And that may be a reason you're feeling stuck. Another reason you might be feeling stuck is you could be, maybe you're stiff-arming God, you're resisting something he's asking you to do. And you're going, well, I don't really like that. I don't want to do that, Lord. I want to do something else. I want to do this thing instead of that thing. And so you're feeling stuck. And it doesn't, in all honesty, it doesn't matter why you feel stuck. What the commonality between all of us is when you're stuck spiritually, it's frustrating. And if it lasts long enough, you begin to feel hopeless. And you start going, am I ever going to be unstuck? Am I ever going to break out of this funk or this moment that I'm in? And the challenge is because Jesus, right, you're here and you want to walk in the newness of life with God. Because the Bible talks about, we just sang about it. Right? We're raised to life. We're raised to walk in the newness of life. The Bible talks about that. Jesus promised that those who would put their faith in him would have new life. And yet at the same time, you're going, I feel stuck. And I'm not sure how to break out of this thing. And so here's what I want to do today is from the Bible, I want to show you how new life is so tightly connected to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then I want you to consider two steps that you might take today that could help you step into this new life in Christ and really get unstuck. And so, if you brought a Bible with you, I want you to open up to Romans chapter 6, which is in the New Testament, or you can bleep bloop over there onto your phone and get to Romans chapter 6. That's where we're going to be at today. And while you're going there, I'm really glad you're here. My name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors, and super glad that you're a part of Bluffton Community today. And if this is your first time, thank you so much for being here. You could have been anywhere in the metropolis of Bluffton this morning. And you're here, right? Especially on Time Change Weekend, right? Like, you could be in your bed. And I don't know that even Jesus would be upset about that. But, right, you're here. And so thank you for coming here. Thank you for trusting us to be able to point you to truth and clarity of who Jesus Christ is. That is not a small matter to us. That means deeply quite a bit to us. And so we're in this series that we're calling Our Only Hope. We have been looking at the resurrection of Jesus and the fact that if you don't have Jesus resurrected from the dead, you don't have Christianity. If you don't have Jesus raised from the dead, your faith doesn't matter. It doesn't. Everything hinges on whether Jesus was raised from the dead or not. Because he's raised from the dead, everything else does matter, and it does make a difference. And that's what we've been talking about. And so before we go any further, I do want to take a moment and pray together. So let's bow our heads and pray. God, I am so thankful that the resurrection is real. I am thankful that Jesus died in my place and he was raised from the dead, conquering sin and death. And now because of that, everything we do here and everything we do under the leadership of the Holy Spirit matters deeply. And so my prayer is through the reading of the scripture, through some clear explaining, and mostly through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, would you lead us to see you with greater clarity than we ever have before, and may that absolutely change our lives. We ask these things humbly, and yet we really expect you to answer these prayers in real time right now through the great name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, we are in Romans 6. We're going to start right in verse 1. And what it says is this. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No way, Jose. That's updated translation. But how can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, this is really important, we too may live a new life. This is so important. Listen, what Paul is saying, this first big rock to wrestle through, is that new life only comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. New life only comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because quite frankly, that's what happened to Jesus when he was raised from the dead, right? He was raised back to life, but not only to his former life, to this new kind of life. Because when you look at the Gospels, and I'm not going to go into a deep dive like I did on week one, so if you want to go back and check out what we talked about on really dialing into the actual resurrection of Jesus, go check that out. But some things that are important to remember is when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was brought back to life. And he was alive similar to the way he was alive before, but now it's like this new life, and there's this new presence and this new power, and it's absolutely incredible. And before, he had a body, but then after he was raised from the dead, he's got a body, but it's like it's new, and it's different, and he's got these capabilities that he didn't seem to have before, right? And there's a level where the people are looking at Jesus like, well, that I think that's him. It kind of looks like him, and then until he reveals himself fully, they go, oh, man, it is Jesus, right? And they're eating with him, and they're hanging out with him, and it's absolutely incredible. And the big thing is, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised in victory over sin and over death. And the Bible says that when you're in Christ, you're raised to new life in him. And so what is true of Jesus is true of you, so that you can live an actual new life. Paul, who wrote Romans 6, also wrote another letter to a group of believers. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he makes it really clear about what new life is. And so let's do this. Let's actually read this passage out loud, beginning with therefore. Are you ready? Go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone. Yeah. This is what Paul says. If you're in Christ, you're new. You're new. The old is gone, and the new has come. It's here. It's arrived. And so you have to understand that the only way that you can have new life is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what Paul goes on to explain, he says, if you have new life, if you have been buried with Christ, if you have been raised to new life in Christ, well, there's something else that goes with that. And he says, new life is a change in your relationship with sin. That's the second big thing, that new life is a change in your relationship with sin. And what Paul says and what has happened is that when you're in Christ, Jesus has decisively changed your relationship with sin. And the way that Paul talks about it, he says, you're dead to sin. You no longer, you used to be a slave to sin, but sin isn't your master anymore. That's all changed. Your relationship is profoundly change. Sin has lost its power to control you. If you're in Christ, sin has lost its power to use you. Why? Because you are dead to sin. You're dead to sin. I know for some of us, maybe many of us in this room, there has been a point in your life where someone close to you has passed away. They've died. And when that happened, right, for many, it was a very, very big moment for you, right? And it's affecting you still today. And when that person died, your relationship with them changed dramatically. Why? Because you can no longer be with them the way that you used to be. When somebody leaves this world and you're still here, you can't be with them the way that you used to be. You can't spend time with them the way you used to spend time with them. You can't go to the movies. You can't go out for coffee. You can't go fishing. You can't sit across from the table and have a conversation and connect with them and be with them the way that you used to. Your relationship is profoundly changed with that person when they pass. And what Paul says is this: if you're in Christ, you're dead. You are dead to sin. Your relationship with sin is profoundly changed. You're no longer available like you used to be, right? That as far as sin is concerned, you're dead. Sin does not have access to you the way that it used to. When you're in Christ, your relationship with sin has been changed. It's over. And we are never, ever, ever. Thank you. We're never getting back together. It's over. My relationship with sin is done. And so if you're in Christ, there's a change in your relationship with sin. But then Paul says there's also a change in your relationship with God. That Jesus, just in the same way that Jesus has decisively changed your relationship with sin, he's also decisively changed your relationship with God. Because now you're alive to God. That's what it says in Romans 6. You are now alive to God. You're dead to sin and you're alive to God. Now, you might not know this, but outside of Christ, you used to be dead to God. You were actually dead to God. You were separated from him. In fact, if you want to go really, really specific, you were an enemy. You're an enemy of God outside of Christ. And if you leave this world without being in Christ, you actually suffer the totality of his wrath because you're his enemy. That's what it used to be. But now that you're in Christ, your relationship has changed. You're alive to God. And this idea of being alive to God is twofold. There's a knowledge aspect, but then there's also a practical aspect. And so when you're new, when you're living a new life and you're in Christ, what that means, the knowledge aspect is this. You're now forgiven. That's true. You've been born again, right? You have been adopted into God's family. You have been accepted as blameless and holy and righteous. You are now looked at as the blessed son, daughter of the King. All of that is true. There's the knowledge aspect. You have to understand that. But then there's a practical side that truth actually ends up leading to a new way of living. And this new way of living looks like this. It's relying on God for everything. That's what walking with Christ in the newness of life looks like. You rely on him for everything. It's humbly serving others, not counting the cost to yourself. This new life is shifting your priorities away from what you want and towards what God desires instead. New life is inviting others into the gospel with you. This is what new life looks like. Because if you've genuinely come to faith in Jesus Christ, you have new life now. And that means you have a change in your relationship with sin, And it means you have a change in your relationship with God. And that matters deeply. Now, in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln made a declaration. And the declaration was this, that all slaves who are in rebel states are free. And it was true for everybody. It was true in that moment. It was an amazing moment in our nation. Right? And it still has wonderful ramifications since then. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you are a person who lives in that time. And I want you to imagine for a moment that you were born into slavery before that moment. And so the only thing you knew in your life was that someone else owned you. And you had no rights to yourself. And you had to do whatever they told you under the threat of punishment. And now imagine that you've heard that it's been declared that every person is free. And now take a step further. Imagine you actually escape from slavery. You make it to one of the states in the north, and you cross that line, and you're in there, and now you're actually free. Not only is it true that you're free, but now you're actually free. How amazing would that be? Now, here's the question that I have. You cross over, let's say you cross over into the great state of Ohio, right? You're in Ohio and you know you're actually free now. How long would it take for the truth of that to actually change the way that you live and interact with other people? Like 1 second after you step into Ohio, now your whole life is new and everything's going to be changed and you're going to interact with everybody the same way? Or could it maybe take a few months? Could it maybe take a year? Could it maybe take that at the sound of chains or the sounds of a cracking whip, you're always kind of a little bit jumping. You realize, oh, that's not for me. How long do you think it would take for somebody to begin to realize that what is true is also real for them now? Right? This is the shift that every born-again believer has to make. And the shift is this. It's true that I'm living a new life in Christ because my relationship with sin is different and my relationship with God is different. And you have to shift from knowing that truth to that actually becoming real in your life to the point where it actually shapes your thoughts and your actions and your relationships. That is the biggest shift that every born-again believer has to make. And typically, when you feel stuck spiritually, it's because you know something to be true from the scriptures, but you're not experiencing it in real life. That's usually where most spiritual stuckness stems from. I know I'm new in Christ. I know my relationship with sin is over. I know my relationship with God is what it never was before. But it doesn't feel that way in real life. That's where spiritual stuckness develops from. And you feel stuck because truth and your life are not in alignment with one another. And the longer it stays that way, the more stuck you feel, the more frustrated you feel, the more hopeless that you feel. Your new life is marked by a change in your relationship with God and a change in your relationship with sin. But what do you do when everything still feels the same? All right, what do you do? I want to put forward two steps that you might take that can help you in this. Now, I'm actually talking to believers right now. So if you haven't come to the place where you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, like you've put all of your hope, your trust, your faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, what I'm going to say to you right now really isn't for you. Not yet, but it's not for you right now I'll have something to share with you a little bit later. But you're welcome to listen in while I talk to everybody else, because it could be helpful very, very soon. So here's what I want to do. Open back up to Romans chapter 6 and jump down to verse 11. And I want to read a couple verses here, because Paul gives us some insight on what we can do. He says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, you are under grace. What Paul is putting in front of us is two ideas, how to make the shift from knowing that something is true and actually cross into it being real and transforming our lives. And here's the first step I would ask you to consider taking in your life. Think deliberately. Think deliberately. See, in verse 11, Paul says, count yourself dead to Christ and alive to God. That word count actually is better translated, think deliberately. Think deliberately about the fact that you're dead to sin and you're alive to God. Intentionally focus your mind on that and begin connecting truth and ideas and life together. Paul says, think deliberately about these things. Now, here's the challenge for you and me, because we live in a culture where we have been trained and the opportunities are overwhelmingly available to simply react, to simply respond. Everything in our culture is geared towards that way. You watch a movie and you respond with a feeling. Somebody says something, you don't really think about what they said, you just go, I didn't like that, so I don't like them. You react, you respond, right? Everything is centered around reacting, responding, getting you to do something that I want you to do. Our culture does not encourage us to think, and not to think deliberately. And it's not that we can't think, it's not that we're unable to think, what it is we're just out of practice. And what Paul says is we have got to think deliberately. If you're going to get unstuck, you've got to think deliberately. And what I want to tell you is, I know some of you, you're in here and you're going, listen, I'm not the thinking kind of person. I know there's other people out there, they're thinking, they're great thinkers, but that's just not me. And you need to hear this. There are not born thinkers and then people who have no capacity for thinking. And you just deal with the card you're dealt with. God has given every single one of us in this room, every person under the sound of my voice, you have the capacity to think and to think deep thoughts. What it just means is you need to take a step of growth, right? You can actually grow as a thinker and resist living as a reaction or a response to whatever's going on. And so let me give you a couple of ideas on how you can grow in your thinking. Here's the first one. You got to schedule time for it. You literally have to schedule time for thinking. This is something that I do. So every day, I have what's known as a daily review, and I have a weekly review. So at the end of the day, I just spend time thinking about my day. Where did I see God? Where was I so wrapped up in my own life that I didn't even think about God at all? Where did I get my relationships right? And where did I make them all about me and be really self-centered? I take time at the end of the day to think about my day and how I was in alignment with the character of Christ and how I was out of alignment with the character of Christ. Now for me, I can't do that when I'm in bed, because as soon as my head hits a pillow, I'm gone, right? Like I'll lay down and my wife's like, hey, I was wanting to tell you, I'm like, she's like, ah. And so mine is a little bit before I lay down for bed. And so I do that at the end of the day. But I also have a weekly review. In fact, here in about 4.5 hours, Sundays at 4 o'clock is my weekly review. And I do the same thing with my week that I did with my day. How did I walk in alignment with God? How did I resist him? Who are people I need to go back and apologize to? Who do I need to have conversations with? Right? All of these types of things. And I simply take time to think. And so you've got to schedule time to think if you're going to grow. The other thing I would encourage you on is read the Bible. And when you read the Bible, a lot of times when people read the Bible, what you're looking for is you're actually looking for a feeling. You go to the Bible looking to respond, looking to react. You read until you find that verse. Oh, I needed that verse today. That made me feel so good. I can respond. I can react. I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is that's incomplete. Read the Bible and then think. Read the Bible and ask questions. What does this mean? What would this look like in my life today? How would this affect my relationships? Read the Bible and then think. Ask questions. And here's the next layer. Ask questions and then propose answers to those questions. And then after you've put answers in front of those questions, you go one more layer and you ask questions about the answers that you just made to those questions. Right? It's like Inception, baby. Right? You're just getting deeper and deeper into that whole thing. That's thinking. So read the Bible and ask questions. And lastly, think with other growing disciples. Spend time thinking with other growing disciples. In our church, we call that structure small groups. That's what small groups are. Small groups are thinking together with other believers. You read a passage and you go, is this what this means? Or I have a question. Or what does that look like? Or have you guys, right? That's all small group is. Small group is thinking out loud with other growing disciples. And if you do that, you will see the Holy Spirit begin to transform your life. But Paul says, think deliberately. What are you supposed to think about? Well, he says right in verse 11, count yourself dead to sin and alive to God. What he's talking about is think about the gospel. Think about the gospel. Think about the reality that you are more evil than you've ever dare imagine. And yet, in Christ, you are more loved and accepted than you would ever dare dream. That's the gospel. And Paul says, think deliberately about that. And as you think on the gospel and as you think on truth, the Holy Spirit will begin to transform your life. But then Paul goes a whole nother layer and he says, listen, here's the second thing that I want to invite everybody here to consider doing. Make yourself available to God. That's what he says. Make yourself, don't be an instrument of wickedness anymore. Offer yourself as an instrument of righteousness to God. Make yourself available to God. And in fact, I think Paul is saying, make yourself so available to God that you're actually unavailable to sin. That's what he's saying. Make yourself so available to the Lord that you're actually unavailable to sin, because that relationship is over. And so what you might consider doing is this. You might consider scheduling your time focused around your new life. You might actually deliberately make decisions with, rather than floating along and seeing whatever comes along and happens this day, I'm actually going to intentionally set some time aside to come into alignment with God. And so what that might look like is something like this: setting reminders throughout the day simply to pray. Putting time on your calendar, I am going to spend these next minutes reading scripture. And if somebody calls, I'm busy. If somebody wants to hang out, they can join me in what I'm doing, but I'm not giving myself permission to join them in what they're doing. Set a reminder for your small group. Set up times to think. Listen, transparently, I schedule most of my day from 5 a.m. until the evening. I can tell you what I'm going to do for most parts of the day, Sunday through Thursday and then Saturday. I don't do much on Friday. That's kind of my Sabbath. That's my day off, and that's like pajama day and all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, from 5 a.m. to the evening, I can pretty well tell you what I'm going to be doing. And I have times in there where I'm with the Lord. And unless you're on your way to go see him face to face, you're going to have to wait. Right? And I know some of you are going, wow, scheduling your day, that seems pretty rigid. You know, actually, that sounds a little bit like legalism. You're gonna be so rigid that you would put your day together like that. That's legalism. And here's what I would say: it is legalism. If I were trying to manipulate God by being really, really good, so I can get something out of him. But I'm not doing that. I am a freed slave who's learning how to live free. That's why I schedule my day. Because I'm still learning what it looks like to live a new life in Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, if you're going to schedule your day and go, hey, I did my devotions, I did three times of prayer, I shared the gospel with four people, so now, God, you have to give me whatever I ask for. That's legalism. My desire to want to be with him so that the Holy Spirit will transform my life, that's what new life looks like. It's why Jesus rose from the dead for you. Now, over time, you will need those reminders less and less. And so only use them while, as long as they're helpful. If they're not helpful anymore, man, pitch them. Get rid of them. But make yourself available to God, so available that you're unavailable to sin. So I want to invite you to grab your connection card. Hopefully you got one on the way in this morning. And take a look on the back of your connection card. There's two next steps I want to draw your attention to. The first one is this. Send me the Learn to Memorize Scripture guide. Maybe one of the ways you're going to make yourself available to God is actually through memorizing 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new is here. Right? That would be a great scripture to memorize and let it just permeate into your heart and into your mind. The other one is you might say, hey, I'm making the decision. I am going to be so available to God that I'm actually unavailable to sin this week. I'm going to start just walking with and being really intentional with what that means and what that looks like. And if those are next steps that you think would be helpful, I would love it personally if you would just mark those and then on the front, put your name, put your email address, because we have some resources we would love to put in your hands Monday morning that can help you kind of take next steps in that, in walking and growing in your new life with God. But I do want to draw your attention to the next step at the top, because new life only comes through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to have new life. You cannot discipline yourself into a new life. You cannot habit yourself into a new life. You can't life hack your way into forgiveness. You can't even do enough religious stuff to get new life. Can't happen. The only way is through faith in Jesus as your forgiver and your leader. And if you're coming to that place today, I would love to know that that's the decision the Holy Spirit led you to, so I can pray for you. We have people who would love to put resources in your hand to help you take next steps and know what it means to walk in the newness of Jesus Christ. And so I get it. Maybe you feel stuck today. Maybe you felt that way for a really long time. But you don't have to stay stuck. You don't. You don't have to stay there. Step into your new life. It comes through faith in Jesus. It comes because he gives you a new heart. It comes because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you as a gift from Jesus. That's the only way you get there. And so, as I was prepping for this, I was talking to the Lord, and I was like, Lord, what is a really simple way to define or describe what new life in Jesus really looks like? Because if you think about it, we've really covered a lot of different concepts here. We've talked about Jesus' resurrection. We've talked about our change in sin. We've talked about our change in relationship with God, right? All of these types of things. And I'm going, Lord, how can we just really clearly, simply describe what new life in Christ looks like? And when I was praying and asking a little bit later, I came across 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And in that chapter, what Paul does is he describes what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back. And what it's going to be like for all of those who have already passed on in this life and they passed in Christ. And what it's going to be like for all of those who are currently in Christ and they witness the second coming, the return of Jesus Christ bodily, personally, gloriously. And he describes all of that. And you read it and it's like, oh man, yeah. And you get excited. And you think about what that will be like. And at the end of that description, Paul writes these words. Then we will be with the Lord forever. That's new life. That's what new life in Christ looks like. It's just being with the Lord. You're going to be with him forever if you've been born again. He's inviting you to be with him now. That's new life. And new life only comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We ask this question every week. It's simple, but I think it gives us space to think. And it's simply this: Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message right now? And I want to give you some time to listen to him and to think about what he's saying. Lord, my prayer is for my brothers and sisters who are stuck right now. I ask that, Holy Spirit, you would reveal to them, this is not about the way to unstuckness is performing better or more discipline or fresh habits. The way to unstuckness is just being with you, realizing that I actually am free. I love that scripture we sang this morning. Whoever the Son has set free, they are actually free. Would you make it real for some of my friends this morning that their relationship with sin is over? They are dead to sin. And would you make it real that they're alive to God? And that means everything. Help us to think very clearly. Help us to think very intentionally. And to make ourselves available to you. Learning how to rely on you. Learning how to hear your voice. Learning how to respond to how you might be moving in a moment. We pray that you would guide us in that way.